B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
One question. Is it too late to change the name?
Nerd Radio starts now.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, where every podcast is part of the B-Pod Studios Network and, of course, all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. My name is Chuck Bean. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, James.
Hello.
And Al Beck.
I'm here.
Welcome to another week in Nerd Radio, fellas. How are you?
Hallo und willkommen.
Oh, that was very, very...
Very docile German, yes.
Very Germanic.
Yeah, yes. we did have, over the last week, we did have one listener in the analytics from Germany.
Oh!
So I'm sure that one listener
it. Yeah.
Is very appreciative that the German
is
back.
There's always that one German.
There's always that one German.
Now you just have to learn some, how about some Australian? There's one person in Australia.
G'day.
Hey, some shrimps on the barbie.
There you go. You know any Spanish?
Hola. No bueno.
We got one listener in the UK.
Hello.
All right, here's the real test. How about the Netherlands?
I have no idea.
Is that like Swedish? Would you speak like these?
Maybe.
No, that's almost Italian, too. I don't know. I'm not good with accents.
I don't know. I did see that we did have two episodes of Nerd Radio. For those that don't listen to the podcast, please check us out wherever you get your podcast, and Spotify and Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Last week, we had two episodes. We had kind of a half episode with all the interviews from Astronomicon, and then we had our regular episode, and our numbers went up. So I guess we're going to start doing 14 episodes a week.
Oh, God.
Those are rookie numbers. We need to pump those numbers.
I am already involved in a podcast that does multiple episodes a week. And
You do not want any of that.
The vine must be drawn here, this far, no farther.
That's fair. All right, then maybe I'll rethink that. But anyways, for those of you who are downloading the podcast, we absolutely thank you. And make sure you hit us up on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. Because when I remember to, I like to go and check those out. And then we read them on the air. And it's super fun.
Mm.
Something I'm stealing from the Checkpoint XP guys. James, how's your week off been so far?
Well, it's been just pretty much a normal week. Just they come in a little bit later.
Yeah.
That's really it.
No, he just had the President's Day off.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I'm taking a three-day weekend on the other end of it, so.
Must be nice.
Well.
I saw you finally set up your Ninja Turtles game.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
But unfortunately.
Trying to do a review on it for a casual gamer, get it all assembled, and there's no audio. The audio jack is
How tall is the thing?
It's bigger than I expected. She said. But
nice.
Hi-oh!
Very good.
It is quite large. It's not as tall as I would hope.
For those just tuning in, we are talking about the Ninja Turtles game.
Yes, the 1UP Arcade Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cabinet. I don't know. Would you call it a cabinet?
Well, that's why I wanted to ask because I've not seen them set up, but I've seen the boxes in Walmart or something like that, and thought to myself, they're not giving you a full 6 foot.
No, it's a little
cabinet.
Bit shorter. Ideally, if it could be maybe 6 inches taller and a few inches wider.
Right.
It's just a condensed version.
That was the other thing I had to worry about with the Ninja Turtles game specifically, because you're supposed to get four players on there. Does it look like it's wide enough
in
there?
You might have to go nuts to butts to get all four players in there, in order to play it. But
four small children could have a blast, I'm
absolutely.
Sure.
But yeah, dude, I'm actually really impressed with it. It's pretty cool. It was a quick assembly. All you need is a screwdriver.
Excellent.
There's a lot of good stuff about it.
Yeah.
But I feel like the mishandling from the package delivery driver, who just obviously kicked it off the back of the truck and landed however it landed, something definitely got damaged. So I got to call the 1-800 number today.
Well, at least somebody.
That's what I have to look forward to after the show is.
And it's your favorite thing,
customer
right?
Customer service.
Yes. You love dealing with customers.
I do. And they love me too.
Not that we want to get into it on the podcast, but you just had an adventure yesterday, too.
Yeah, I already had an adventure.
Oh,
I learned some stuff about car parts.
Yeah.
I never realized your lug nuts could go bad.
Right.
Well, steel screws.
If it can happen, it'll happen to James.
You don't want rusty nuts.
You don't want rusty nuts.
That's
the worst kind of nuts you can get, other than blue nuts.
Okay, so
I'm just trying to work blue balls into the joke. Sorry.
While I've got you in a bad mood, I wanted to end with this. Yeah.
What's up?
So I was watching your stream Friday. You returned for
yeah. I finally got back on Twitch on Friday for my my FS up stuff. Whatever you want to refer to it as on this
right, exactly. We'll have to call DMX in here so we can properly say the name.
Yeah.
But what was going on?
That was rough, man.
Was there a particular game type that you were playing that was because I
so
heard
Realm,
you guys?
Yeah, Realm Royale's added some new stuff. So they don't have a battle pass going on. I guess they're working on whatever their next Kmart brand game that they have coming out, because they're like Hi-Rez are the people that make Realm Royale,
right?
And they have a game called, I believe, Smite, which is kind of like a ripoff of League of Legends,
right?
And Realm Royale technically is a ripoff of Fortnite. So I guess they're working on some other game that's like a ripoff of Apex Legends, at least is what I've been told. And so they don't have the people assigned to work on Realm Royale like they have in the past.
Okay.
So they don't have a battle pass, but they changed some stuff up. They're putting new stuff in the store, and they're changing some of the things in the game. So they added some cool stuff to the Forge, where you can now forge, you can upgrade your weapons and stuff, which is great. But there's a lot of bugs, and there's a lot of different things, and they have these limited time events.
Okay.
So if you want to play squad play, so for example, I wanted to play squad play on Friday last week because I was just getting my ass kicked in the realm.
So
I was having a bad week. I'm tired. I'm stressed, working on some other different projects and things. But I didn't want to neglect everybody in the Manthong Mafia. I wanted to be able to still reach out and talk and play some games and, you know, do the usual Friday business. But the play mode that they had was on squads, you're restricted to just crossbows. And there's only a certain area on the map where you can actually play. So it was like, it was just dumb.
Yeah, what
the F? It's dumb. Like, I want to drop in wherever I want to drop in. I got the hunks from hell. We're here to rule the realm,
and it's
but
weird.
Instead,
it's
we're
weird
restricted.
They wouldn't have just added a mode instead of like completely shutting down squad play. It's like, this is the only way you can play squad play.
You want to play squad play, so if you're playing with more than one other person, you have to play this mode with crossbows and this portion of the map. So
okay.
It's just lame.
Now
so
I understand,
I got
mad. And
yeah.
That is dumb.
Yeah, so
that
I was raging. I
understand completely why you were upset now, because like I said, that is dumb. Because I just on a whim, I was like, oh yeah, James is having a hard time. He said there were some changes to Realm. I'll log in last night to play Realm. And I was like, no, it's the same game to me. I don't know what's going on.
Gotcha. Yeah, so if you're playing single player mode.
Over the weekend.
It's like every week it changes.
Yeah.
Or it changes every so often. I'm not sure on the timeline. I've been so busy, I've barely had time to actually play any games. So I know the first week they had it, there was like a special mode in duos.
Okay.
So if you went into duos, you and your partner, you were restricted to just swords. So that's the only
just
weapon.
Running up on people and whacking
so
them in the face.
Just like a bunch of, you know, a sword fight. And then,
but that's every player is restricted to the same?
Yeah, so if you were to play the duo mode.
Yeah.
Like you could still play like the normal game if you dropped in single player, or if you dropped in with a squad, so three or more, then you could play normal. But if you dropped into duos, you and another person, you're restricted to a certain area on the map with swords as your only weapon you're going to find in chests. So I never got to try that mode out, but I'm not feeling it. Like, I want the option.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is with Magic the Gathering, they'll do the same thing with Arena, and every weekend there'll be a changed mode. There'll be a neat thing you can do, but it's optional. Like, I can just play Magic against people, or I can try out this other thing.
Yeah.
And it's only available for the weekend, and half the time it's really fun, but I don't have to, you know, it doesn't take the thing I like away and replace it with something I may or may not be cool
with. Yeah, so that's what I was bummed out about. I'm like, I just want to sit down. I want to play the realm, like the realm. I want to rule the realm the way the mayor of Guntown would rule the realm with the hunks from hell at his side.
Right.
And I couldn't do that.
Yeah, not with crossbows.
Not with crossbows. No.
Yeah, they're running with an invisible chicken, too.
Yeah, there's bugs in the game like you wouldn't believe. Like, I was ready to just bust my Xbox against the wall that day. Man, it was rough.
That's unfortunate.
It was a rough stream. So
I can kind of feel your pain, because both with Realm and last night I sat down to play some Dead by Daylight, and with both games I spent more time in the loading screen than I did actually playing the game.
See, that's what sucks, man.
And that is the worst feeling when it comes to the online multiplayer game, is when it takes like 5 minutes to find a game, and then you've got another minute and a half of watching a loading screen, and you get in and immediately get killed.
Yeah,
and
it's like, it's the worst.
Well, that was a waste of my goddamn time.
Because for me, the appeal of the battle royale style game is the fact that it's so quick. Each match is so disposable. You hop in, you survive, you die, you wait a minute, another match is ready to go. But then you just spend so much time waiting for your exit screen, and then your new loading screen, and then you're in a lobby on a pirate ship powered by whatever fictitious element is powering your thing to drop you into the match.
Waiting to get back into the game.
Yeah.
That's when I was a kid and we had Street Fighter on the Super Nintendo, I always hated how long it took to get into the next game.
Wow, that's even on Super Nintendo. See, it shouldn't take that long.
I was like, no, I don't want to continue screen. I don't want to wait for this. I want, like, no, you just beat me. I want to get again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do, I guess?
Yeah, but.
Well, here's something that I actually wanted to ask you guys about the other day, because it's an idea that came up I was, you know, there's all the news with the coronavirus,
yeah,
and people getting and it, you would think that this is the worst time ever to get on a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
That's going out on the sea, because you're in a condensed space with a bunch of humans, and if one of you gets some kind of, you know, one of you gets the flu, then a lot of you are going to get the flu. Al, I already know you absolutely hate people. However,
I was going to say I'm not scared. I don't leave my apartment aside from going to work.
Where is the line? What would it take to get each of us on a cruise ship? What would have to be on that cruise ship for you to get on? Like, if there was like Jericho does the rock and wrestling rager,
I would go to that
kind of thing. Yeah. Or, you know, there's the Steve Black goes on the
Ship Rock,
yeah, with a whole bunch of bands.
So he
like
asked
that.
Me,
like,
is there a themed cruise that would get me on?
If there was a Star Trek themed cruise,
Star Trek cruisy,
and they got, you know, like Captain Picard, and you could, it was like a Star Trek convention. On,
yeah,
a
Picard's
cruise ship.
Doing stand up every
is
night.
Is that enough?
They're flying
in. Would that make you, especially now, would that make you risk getting a contagious disease?
I don't know about that, because as great of a time as I had at the Star Trek convention, one day was enough.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not crazy about people.
Really?
And crowds.
Tell us more.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I don't know. It would have to be like the whole cruise was themed, and I could, lots of activities, like, you know, your cabin is a bridge.
The ship looks like the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have to be like all out.
Maybe,
like, the entire thing is, you know.
Maybe the bridge, there is a bridge section that you can schedule time so you can come in and, you know, be on engineering or something like
that.
Yeah.
It would still be kind of a tough sell. However, if they had a working holodeck.
Well.
I think that would work.
Al's going to live out all of his Star Trek fantasies.
Yeah.
Right. Right. We already talked about how you clean the damn holodeck, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my holodeck experiences would be very much like Lieutenant Barclay's.
Nice. Nice. What about a MASH cruise?
Oh, I'm there for a MASH cruise.
Are you there for a MASH cruise?
Dude, and everyone's in bed by 7? This is perfect. Dude, I'm going on the MASH cruise. It's awesome.
Is there anybody left to go on?
There's
the
like
MASH
three
cruise?
People.
Okay.
I know. We just lost another one. Yeah. Death Watch.
Yeah.
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 And yeah. Kelly Nakahara, who played Nurse Kelly, passed away.
Which was a fascinating character because she's in a bunch of the episodes, but she's not like a title role.
No, but she was probably the most recurring nurse of the whole series.
Yeah.
They reused some names, like Abel and Baker came up a bunch, but I mean, I think those actresses even changed.
Right.
But when they got Nurse Kelly, she was, you know, a consistent nurse.
Yep.
Through not the entire series, but a good chunk of it.
That's got to be kind of a fun part to have in a TV show or in anything. Like, you're recurring, and at some point you have to feel some job security because they keep using you.
They keep it in your back, but
yeah. But
no,
then at the same time,
commitment.
You have none of the responsibility.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the episode again with Alan Alda, but Alan Alda had to remember like 36 lines of dialogue, you know, 36 pages of dialogue. I had like 3 lines. So.
Yeah, Jeff Maxwell, who played Igor, the guy in the mess tent.
Yeah,
he worked for the show the entire time because he actually joined the crew as the stand-in for Alan Alda. So
okay.
He was on the set every day that Alan Alda was, for as long as Alda was.
Right.
And that was before they ended up giving him the Igor character. And then he wasn't the stand-in anymore, so he was on the set a lot less at that point. But again, that guy worked there for, I think, 9 of those years,
right.
9 of the 11 years or something like that. So,
interesting. All right. No, it was, like I said, it was something that I thought of a couple of weeks ago as this coronavirus thing is going down. I was like, what in the world would it take to get me on a cruise ship?
Yeah.
And what would it take you to get on there?
I honestly don't have an answer. I get seasick anyways. I don't want to be on a cruise ship. Whatever. And yeah. I don't want to get sick.
Seasick and lactose intolerant. Let's just keep Chuck off of
that's
the
that's like
cruise.
The main food on the ship is all cheese.
I'm a nerd in a bubble,
cheese,
man.
And ice cream.
Yeah.
I will stay home with my video games. And,
yeah. But yeah, I'd show up for the MASH cruise.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, James? Is there? Well, you said you'd show up for the Jericho Rock.
Yeah,
Ranger.
Me, like, coronavirus, like, I'm kind of scared of catching it, but really, what's it going to do? Give me some diarrhea? Like,
right.
I've survived.
You've been there.
You know, yeah, exactly. I have diarrhea
sometimes,
on a daily basis.
I was going to say, sometimes you do it voluntarily.
Yeah. Sometimes you eat stuff that gives you diarrhea. Sometimes you drink stuff that gives you diarrhea. Sometimes you're just around people that give you diarrhea. But,
right.
You know, it's diarrhea days is, you know, hashtag, that's my life. Just if it sounds like a fun time, I'd be willing to go. Somebody else is picking up the check. You know? Let's go on the coronavirus cruise.
I know where this is headed.
I want so badly for the episode to be called Diarrhea Days. But with a Z, like D-A-Z-E. Yeah, Diarrhea Days.
Oh, man, I just got this diarrhea days. I got this new strain. Green diarrhea.
Yeah, that's another one I don't think B-Pod Studios would be too happy with, is naming the episode Diarrhea Days.
I tell you what, I promise you I'll slip it in the episode description.
Perfect. Thank you.
Just to see.
But yeah, man, cruises and stuff, I think cruises are fun. Like, I don't have any issues with them. I don't get seasick. You know, it's kind of weird because you're just kind of stuck on a ship with a bunch of weirdos.
Okay, if there was a Transformers cruise, that might... I might risk it for that.
There you go.
There was people walking
especially
around.
Especially if the cruise ship transformed.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in. All right. Well, what else I got to talk to you about? You guys, there's a lot of stuff in here. I wasn't ready to transition. So,
we're just going to fill some time here while you look at your old laptop go over there.
Peter out here.
Yeah. We could easily edit this out, but that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
And you notice I say the word we like I'm going to
do. Yeah. So.
Come on!
Mouse in your pocket over there. The hell is
that? No mouse.
Just hanging out with DMX, I guess, while we wait.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, so nobody in this room went and saw Sonic the Hedgehog this week. However,
no, did not.
However,
it's on my list.
It did great for its opening weekend.
Yeah,
it's actually taken the record for the best opening weekend for a video game movie. From Detective Pikachu.
Defeated Detective Pikachu of all video game movies.
Yeah, did $57 million in the first 3 days. Detective Pikachu pulled in $54.3 million.
So Sonic is bigger deal than Pokemon.
And you know that's super cool.
And that's with Ryan Reynolds too.
Considering how much work they had to put into this movie to revamp
True.
The Sonic,
yeah.
Like that's super cool.
Yeah, when you go from a hedgehog that looks like somebody's bad acid trip pet. An actual lovable. Cute little cuddly cartoon.
I mean, I will say Sonic is way more on my radar than Pokemon ever was.
It's all the same here, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, makes sense to me. Pokemon was never part of my repertoire.
Yeah.
It never was. Like, I just...
You were actually too old for Pokemon when it came out.
Was I? I mean, I don't know, maybe. I just never played it. I never had anything to do with it.
I feel like when Pokemon came out, it was probably right, because we're similar in age.
Yeah, I'm just a couple
right
years behind you.
And, like, my friend's little brother was really into Pokemon.
Right.
And I was like, well, what's this game? Let me borrow it. And I played it. I'm like, it's not my thing. Give me a Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
I got to catch them all. There's too many to catch.
Yeah, well,
I need all these Pokemon.
I had my finger on the pulse of the anime scene at the time, so this Pokemon thing's coming out.
Right,
and I'm like,
that
sounds neat. All right, let's try this out. Now, all the other stuff.
Monster Trainer? What?
All the other stuff that came out after it that was, you know, like Digimon and Monster Hunter and stuff like that. I was like, I don't need more Pokemon. One Pokemon is themed thing is enough for me. Thanks.
Yes. Sonic, however, I loved the games on Genesis and Game Gear. And, of course, I watched the cartoon show.
Oh, I forgot about the cartoon
show.
Yeah,
I love the cartoon.
I didn't watch that very much. But.
You know, there's a thing a friend of mine on Facebook was doing, my friend's band, Bathroom of the Future, put in their Facebook. Go on Google and search your name, the Hedgehog, and see what comes up, because there's tons of people who love Sonic the Hedgehog, a whole fan community that will make up their own hedgehogs of different colors and different shapes and sizes and what like that. And I found out that there is actually officially a Chuck the Hedgehog in the comic books, and he's Uncle Chuck. He has this spectacular white mustache.
Oh, the creepy Uncle Chuck the Hedgehog with his white
mustache.
He's
not creepy. He's fine. He's Uncle Chuck the Hedgehog. Yeah, so I think Al's looking it up right now.
Well, I'm looking up mine. Screw you.
That's what I'm saying. You guys need to Google what your hedgehog sona is.
Well, mine's probably going to look like Ron Jeremy the Hedgehog. It's the only non-Sonic related hedgehog that I'm a fan of.
Right. This is becoming a regular thing, Robbie.
I'm taking my headphones. I don't need your weird ear stuff getting on them. Jesus.
Try to do a show in here. Thank you.
I usually bring my own headphones, but next week. Ooh.
Nope. He's in and he's out. Just
he's
like
in
that.
And he's out.
All right. Fair
remember
enough.
Remember to bring some Vaseline next week for those headphones.
Get him, Al. Get
some peanut butter. Well, Alan the Hedgehog has got a emo. He's got black fur with purple.
Oh, put on
purple and red accents.
Put him on camera. Put him on camera. I want to see him.
Wow. Very.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's an interesting hairstyle.
He's beautiful.
Yeah. He's got a little bit of an emo haircut.
He does.
One of his spikes is down in front of his eye.
It looks like if somebody is reimagining My Chemical Romance as Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now, I wonder if I put it... Now, that was Alan the Hedgehog. What about
What if you just Al the Hedgehog? What do you get there?
Oh, my. Oh, no. That's got extra letters.
I was going to say, you found some
a different hedgehog.
18-plus hedgehog fan art.
Well, dude, Al the Hedgehog looks like Knuckles.
Does he? Oh, kind of. Yeah, I see it.
Yeah.
Just red.
Funny, I never realized there's such a hedgehog fandom.
Oh, yeah. It's the internet, man. It exists.
We got to check out James the Hedgehog here, who's wearing a cowboy hat.
All right.
Look at me.
Look at that.
Yeah, I got boxing gloves on, too.
You do. What the heck? How about that?
Yee.
It's not my James the Hedgehog.
And I can't stress this enough. Haw. All right, some Batman news when we come back, and some comic book stuff going on as well. We'll transition into it's Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Monarch of Mass, the genetic jackpot, Joe Coleman.
And over to my right, the hummus threat heartthrob, the quad of war, Idris Abraham.
And together, we are known as
Halal Beefcake,
and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
That was a fun episode, those guys.
Those guys are fantastic.
Couple of hunks there.
Yep, it's Nerd Radio. That's how I like to describe our show. A couple of hunks here. Nerd Radio, wherever you're getting your podcast, is part of the B-Pod Studios Network. We're in Boston.
Rock 92.9 rocks.com.
I nearly said Chicago.
Man, you got to get your city straight. You got to get this man a map.
I need a map.
He did not do well in geography.
We're also on Twitch.
Grade school was a long time ago for Chuck.
It was a long time ago. But I still can do basic math.
Before they had an atlas.
We didn't. It was a very poor school. We didn't have one of those globes.
No globes. You can open up your social studies book. Just the map of the United States.
Yep.
We're also on Twitch on Wednesday mornings. Where's that?
Did those maps have Alaska and Hawaii in them yet, Chuck?
Not yet.
Not yet. They weren't officially.
Puerto Rico surely wasn't on there. Absolutely not.
We weren't a part of the union yet. But yeah, you can watch us Wednesday mornings around 11:30 on the Checkpoint XP channel on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Checkpoint XP.
Absolutely. And you can follow us on social media and check out clips from the show on YouTube at Nerd Radio 101. James, 2 weeks ago we were out at Astronomicon. This weekend we're both going to be out, I think, on separate days.
Oh, yeah.
Great Lakes Comic Con.
10th anniversary for those guys. Congratulations to them for making it 10 years, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember when it started out in teeny tiny little upstairs portion of the Macomb South Campus. Like, it wasn't even in the big expo room yet. It was like.
Yep.
Upstairs of the library or something.
Yeah.
Or some other building on campus.
And then I think they were in the VFW hall over
really?
At Gratiot.
Okay.
And that was a thing. But yeah, 10 years is a big deal. And it's a fun con as well.
Yeah, it's great.
It's definitely one of the smaller based cons, but Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's supposed to be out there. Supposed to have Jim Steranko from Marvel Comics, worked on Nick Fury and a whole bunch of other people. Oh, look, we're getting a Star Trek wave from Steve Black. What's up, dude? It's so weird to have all those windows.
I know. I mean, we've been in the studio for a while now, but after years and years of being in the edit studio
being in
with
a closet,
no windows.
Yeah. Right. And nobody would. If people walked by, they walked in.
Yes. Because it was in like it's like a back part of the hallway.
Yeah.
Too.
It's like a bunker.
They're like,
we can make this into a closet. Or I only got one. Throw a board in here. We can let people record stuff.
Yeah.
So we got a first look at Robert Pattinson in the Batsuit last week. Did you guys get a chance to check this out?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I saw like not a very clear image.
Yeah, it's not. It's more. It's a camera test, but it's a video. It's not. It's not quite a trailer, so I don't think it goes with your trailer rule.
No, it doesn't. No, we watched it on the morning show.
Yeah.
It was a very dark video, so I didn't really get much of a, you know, whatever. It's a Batsuit.
It definitely made me recognize that the most important thing to casting a Batman actor is what is his chin going to look like in the Batsuit.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
You don't have that Batman chin.
If you don't have the chin, then you're not going to look great in the bat suit. And I don't know that this role is going to work out. I don't think you could get Val Kilmer in a bat suit now.
Ooh, I don't know that he's going to fit or B.
I don't think his left tit's going to fit in a bat suit anymore.
I don't think he's going to work out in the bat suit anymore.
I think he's got a lot of tubes and machinery hooked up to him to sustain life.
No.
I don't think it's going
to
work out.
No, he gets to be Clayface now.
Oh, not by choice, though. Just by natural selection.
Also, in Batman news, this was on our website, WRAF.com. There's an official Batman restaurant coming to London, England.
I didn't see that. Oh, in London?
Yeah, they're going to be opening this spring in London, England. It's a Batman restaurant. It's going to have different areas devoted to different parts of Gotham City.
Okay.
Like, there's supposed to be a Gotham Speakeasy, which has some of the some of the underground villain stuff in there. They're doing the Iceberg Lounge for the Penguin.
Oh, cool.
Which is going to be cool. There's going to be like an ice sculpture of a penguin in the middle of a bar, and then each of the tables have umbrellas over them for light fixtures, which is really cool.
That's cool.
This is the part that's weird to me, though, is that the Harley Quinn area is a sushi restaurant or a sushi bar, and I don't associate Harley Quinn with sushi.
And nor do I. Like,
I don't.
I mean, I can go down Perv Road with
there's always that.
No, I would assume they're going to not go down that road for a Batman-themed restaurant.
Right.
Especially they're probably trying to get kids in there.
I also feel like theming your restaurant on Batman just gives you an immediate go-to if somebody gets food points to get the restaurant. I was like, well, Joker must have been in the kitchen.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do. Sometimes the villains get in the kitchen and Batman's going to punch him in the face.
But I wonder, like, so what, are they going to have, like, Batman-themed dishes? Or is it just, like, you come to the restaurant.
It's all paper plates.
I'll take a cheeseburger. Everything. You have the cheeseburger or the pizza?
Yeah.
Or the sushi, you know?
They cut the pizza in the bat symbol.
Yeah. There you go. They got little bat symbol personal pan pizzas.
Dude, I'm in for that.
I'd eat about four of those.
That'd be pretty fun.
Unless they're really expensive, then I'll probably just have one.
Yeah.
I'll split one with my fiance for the experience.
I'm sure they'll be pretty expensive.
You've already flown to London.
Yeah. At this point. I flew all the way to London for a bat-shaped pizza.
Yep.
Oh, right. I could have got a Pizza Hut with my bucket that I stole from some kid down the neighborhood.
Still, I feel like that was a really specific.
Yeah.
Was that a memory? Or was that a riff?
No, that was just me. Just
something James is actually confessing.
It's the first thing
to.
I could tie to personal pan pizzas, okay? Reading comic books, reading, book it.
Yeah,
that's how I got
educated.
You know, they gotta tease the youth with pizza to get them to want to read.
Yeah, I remember when Pizza Hut used to have X-Men comics back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Get us to come in. Or they had the video cassettes with the first episode on them.
Oh, yeah, they did have those video cassettes or VHS,
videotapes. Well, while we're talking Batman, this week is the week that Batman 89 comes out. We talked about this, I want to say it was last week. It was the first appearance of Joker's new girlfriend.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Punchline. And
I thought this is the one where you see Batman's ball sack.
It is not.
Oh, okay.
No, you've already seen the dong, but no ball sack as of yet.
Next month, the goatsy.
Don't worry, I'm on the Batman.
The Batsy.
I'm on the Batman watch.
And that can't be the title either.
No,
Batman watch.
No, I'm not here too much.
I'm not here for titles. I'm here for content.
Exactly. That's why we love you, James. You give us content. Yeah, so this is the week. And let me tell you, I was at the comic store yesterday just, you know, helping out, putting some books away or something like that. I had three different people call and ask, A, are you going to have the issue on Wednesday when it comes out? And B, is it only going to be cover price? So there's definitely a speculator's market on this new character. I don't understand it.
Is this like a hot comic tip? We need to get in on this issue and hold on to it?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If you go to the comic store today and you can find an issue of it, maybe pick it up. Because I feel like it's going to be one of those issues that spikes real hard at first and then drops. Like I feel
probably,
if you buy it today at $4 and then you can get $20 out of it tomorrow, take it. Because by like next Wednesday, it's going to be $4 again.
Oh, wow.
I feel like the character design, too, is not great. It looks like a character that no one's going to care about in like a year.
What's she look like?
She's got like white face paint, much like Harley. She's got, I think, a diamond and a club or something like that underneath her cheek. She's got a kind of a purple and black ensemble going on, but not as iconic. Like Harley had that full outfit in the cartoons with the red and black and everything. Like you immediately
tell me about our knockers, Chuck. Let's get down to business.
They're on display.
Okay,
but I'm not impressed.
Not impressed.
No, They at one point back in the early 2000s, the Riddler had like a pair of twins that were running around with him in like the, you remember the green Riddler outfit that was okay. like the head to toe that Jim Carrey wore, something like that. Like a couple of ladies in that. And you're like, wow. Now that's our, I like seeing
these
that.
Ladies have no secrets.
Right.
Is this Punchline here?
That is Punchline.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, she looks like a samurai warrior or something out of a Kill Bill movie.
Put that up for the camera for the Twitch streamers.
Right. She looks like definitely Asian. Either Asian descent or, you know, or like her hairstyle and her fashion.
Yeah, like a lady samurai is what she looks like to me.
Joker's going through an Asian phase.
But that's
don't we all go through that phase, though?
Yes, but mine was very earlier in life.
That's the other thing that's funny about this. And Al, you know about this. I don't know if James is aware, but this is not actually, you only see her on the last page in one panel. And you don't see all of her. You just see she's on the phone with the Joker.
And that's this issue?
Everybody's and that's this issue.
Going crazy over that one.
Because this technically constitutes the first appearance of this character, even though you don't actually see all of her. She isn't named, all that stuff. It's the kind of thing Venom, famously, in Amazing Spider-Man, there's an issue where the black costume attaches to Eddie Brock.
Mm-hmm.
And you see him in the last panel, but he's not named. And you don't know what is going on, and that technically counts as the first appearance.
Mary Jane, doesn't she just show up at the end of, you know, the you?
It's a tried and true comic book thing where like there's the first actual appearance and there's the first full appearance of a character.
Right.
And
that's didn't we have that whole fiasco with Rob Liefeld and that Major X character?
Yeah,
where
that Deadpool Spider-Man issue. He's in the background.
He's in the background. Yeah,
but he's not named. So
that's funny.
Yeah.
Interesting. I can't believe there's so much hype over this one little panel of, you know.
Comic books are like that,
Joker's man. New squeeze.
And it's and that's the other thing I wanted to bring up. On the other side of the fence, over at Marvel, there's a book that's coming out in a couple of months that's part of the X-Men line. It's called Children of the Atom. And from what I've seen from the art and what I've gathered so far about this book, it is a series of new characters, young characters, that have the exact same powers as some of the X-Men that currently exist. So there's a young woman who has Cyclops eye beams, and there's a young woman who has Gambit's ability to kinetically throw charge cards and throw them, and there's a Nightcrawler kid. Those characters have a cameo appearance in an issue that comes out. I actually brought it with me today. It's called Marvel Voices, number one. And there's a story in here where Forge from the X-Men builds a car and races Shuri from Black Panther. And at the very end of the book, in this panel right here at the end, there's the kids that are the big fans that want Forge's autograph, and these are all the kids that are going to be in Children of the Atom.
Oh.
So Children of the Atom is yet to come?
Yeah, that comes out in a couple of months.
Any connection to that Battle of the Atom or whatever?
No. Okay. No, other than the fact that the X-Men have famously been called the Children of the Atom.
Gotcha.
And we're talking Atom, like A-T-O-M, like atomic.
Yes.
Because I'm like, I keep picturing Atom.
Yeah.
I'm like, Atom who?
Yeah, just
Adam Driver.
it's the divorce association that we advertise on.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Children of the Atom.
Oh,
they're all from broken homes. So,
what a crazy superhero team! Yeah. Just all a bunch of sad kids,
from broken homes.
But they all have two Christmases.
Yeah,
you know, so it's not all bad.
By the powers of multiple Christmas holidays, unite to form the Children of Atom.
Yeah. It's always pizza night at dad's.
Yeah. Really, Adam is just like a real deadbeat dad. He's knocking up chicks. He's got like 12 baby mamas.
Yeah.
You know, and they all like, my dad's Adam.
My dad's Adam too.
It's that
Let's fight crime.
It's that John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt thing going on. So, if you're into the speculators market of comic books, two things to look out for if you want to hit the comic book store up this week. Personally, I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that whole.
Well, you're like a true investing like, comic fanatic, so I assume you probably look down upon like me. I'd be more like, wait, I can get this comic for $3, and it might be worth $1,000 in a month,
right?
Give me.
I've picked up.
I'll take five.
Yeah. Well, for one thing, first appearances do not necessarily make it collectible,
right?
You know, so it's not necessarily a key issue. And I have picked stuff up in the past because it was a first thing. But not as an investment, more of like it would be cool to have that in the collection,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then you're sort of banking on one day down the road.
But deep down inside, you're internally like,
you're hoping.
I hope this is.
So I guess maybe, comic. But I've also had like that final issue of Walking Dead that kind of dropped on us as a surprise. Yep. That price shot up immediately, and also that one kind of evened out pretty quick as well. But it was kind of cool to look at that and be like, oh, cool, like that's worth, you know, however much money, but I didn't feel like selling it. It wasn't an investment.
Well, yeah, it was part of your series.
It was part of the series, part of the collection. You know, I had that first year of the Scott Snyder New 52 Batman, which that Court 52. Of Owls.
That's, they should make a jingle. New 52.
But like the Court of the Owls, you know, was in that.
You're about 9 years too late for that. So if 9 years ago, if you'd heard that, then maybe you could have helped him out.
I'm gonna time travel back 9 years ago. Hey, James.
New 52. Hey, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
I think part of it too is the fact that I've never had any luck with that. Mm-hmm. Like way back.
Have
in
you
the day.
Ever bought a comic in your entire collecting career thinking it was gonna be worth something one day, and it was only worth a quarter bin?
Oh yeah. That's happened. Well, I bought that last issue of Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At $3.99, and I think I offloaded it at about $20.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, so I got a little bit lucky there. Same thing with that Batman Damned. I had all three issues of those, and I ended up getting rid of those for a good chunk of change last year.
Nice.
But famously, back in the day, when they killed Superman, and they had that comic that was wrapped up in the black bag.
Yeah, do you have that?
The Superman. The day it came out, it was cover price. I got it at my comic store because they're like, this is going to be a big deal. I'm like, I don't read Superman. No, you don't understand. It's going to be a big deal. Yeah. All right, fine, whatever. The next day, that book was $100.
Wow.
The day after that, it was $40. By Saturday, it was $20.
That's fine. How quickly the comics can go up in value and then decrease in value is amazing.
It is. It's absolutely. It's a crazy stock market kind of thing.
Yeah, because I have an issue, an X-Men issue, like the Rise of Phoenix or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like I bought that issue and have just sat in the plastic on a piece of cardboard. It's been bounced from shoebox to shoebox. I'm probably paid like $20 for it. I have no clue what it's
right.
worth. But like that's my crown jewel of my comic collection.
Sure.
That one right there. So I'm like, one day hopefully it'll be worth some cash. Otherwise.
But you bought it because you wanted it. Did you buy or did you buy
it
as an investment?
Well, I was in sixth grade when I bought it.
Okay.
I was just getting into comics, and I was like, you know what? This is like, I can't believe I could buy this issue here. This is like the first Phoenix or whatever, and I could afford it. So I bought it and just held on to it, but I didn't really have any
attachment. So it was kind of
it was more so like
childhood James investment. Yeah.
Like I was like, oh, my God, I've seen this pictures of this comic before.
Yeah.
And it was weird because there was like a liquor store by my house that would sell comics and the X-Men trading cards and all that stuff. And that's
right.
where I'd buy a lot of stuff was from this liquor store. And I remember going in there and they had it up. And I was like, that? I got to go home and check the back of my X-Men cards to make sure that's the right issue.
Right.
Flip it over. I'm like, oh, my God, that is the issue. And had my dad, begged my dad to take me up there. And I bought it and brought it to school. It's probably damaged. It's probably ruined. It's probably got boogers or something in there that I don't know about. He brought it to school, and I would read it during silent reading and let other kids borrow it because they're like, oh, man, that's the comic on the back of the X-Men card of Phoenix,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
But it's probably worth nothing.
But it's, like you said, it's your crown jewel.
Yeah.
I got the first appearance of Gambit. It's the only part of my X-Men collection I paid, you know, more than cover for.
Really?
And I think I paid $20, and that's like a $60 issue now. So that's neat.
Yeah, that's cool.
But again, I think that kind of isn't buying it for an investment. You bought that because you wanted it, because you're an X-Men fan. You bought it
yes.
for you.
It's more so for your collection.
And yeah,
right.
that's the thing I hate about, you know, the speculating on what's gonna be worth money.
Yeah.
Is that, like, I always tell people, don't invest in comics, man. Buy the comics that you're interested in reading, that you think are cool. And if you happen to come across a character like Spider-Gwen or something like that, and it shoots up in value, then hey, good for you. Because most of the people that are investing, all they think of is like, man, the Ninja Turtles issue came out back mm-hmm. in the, you know, 89 or something like that, 88, and all of a sudden that thing is worth thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and that is so rare.
Yeah. I can't even imagine what the percentage is. Most of those comics, if you tried to resell them, it would end up in a quarter bin.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. And you paid $3-4 for it. Even some of those books, like you and I were talking before the show, but when they drop a $8 or $10 book on you.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up.
Yeah, so like, but you spend the $10 on it, and then eventually it's worth 25 cents.
Yep.
You know, if you in resale value.
Ouch.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So you buy comics because you enjoy it and you want to read the story, and then you get your $10 worth because I love Deadpool, and you know, you gave me this $10 issue, which I'm pissed about. but I like my character. And then, you know, hey, if it happens to be worth $100, $1,000 later, cool, but that's not why you buy it.
Yeah, the first issue of the new Wolverine series comes out today, and I was pumped because it's part of the new X-Men line, and I love all the books in the new X-Men line. I'm like, I think I'm going to actually buy a Wolverine comic on the reg. I'm not a Wolverine huge Wolverine fan. Please don't beat me up, Joe Coleman.
Yeah.
But I think I'm gonna pick this up. And we got it, the comic store yesterday, and putting books away. I'm like, I'm going to pick it, and I look, and it's kind of thick, and I'm like, oh, no, this is going to be more than $4. It's $8. It's like double price. And I'm like, nope, I'm not paying $8. Now, as I was telling Al, I started flipping through it because I expected, especially when they do those large ones, sometimes it'll be like the front story is new content and the back story is a reprint of stuff. And I hate that.
Reprint or like mini stories or something.
I hate that.
Me too.
But no, it's two full stories that go in two different directions, but it's so closely connected to my X-Men comics that I just kind of put it away with the other comics that are saved for me in the store.
At least that, though, that makes sense because I'm the same way that every so often Deadpool will be a $10 book and there will be a normal 22-page issue of Deadpool in there, and then there's like a whole bunch of 4-page mini stories with who freaking knows which writer.
Right.
And I hate that because I'm, you know, paying all this extra money for something I don't care about and I don't want. But I either have to buy it or I have to have a hole in my collection. That drives me nuts.
Yeah, and that's some garbage right there.
And it's like, and that's, we've talked about this ad nauseum in the past, but it's like you're taking advantage of the fact that you have a very loyal fan base. When you've
That's the thing that's most disgusting about it. It's like when they do an annual issue, which they obviously do once a year for different particular comics, and it's usually, you know, double size, something like that. When that is $2 more, and I'm like, okay, well, it's only going to happen once a year, right?
Yeah.
But when my regular issue of my comic, like every 3 or 4 months,
and they surprise you,
$10,
right?
Like you don't know in advance, like, oh, next month's going to be $25 because it's some crazy holographic image cover.
Yeah. I feel that way about the events, too, the way, like, everything ties in. It's like, you know, your customer base is very loyal, and I think you're taking advantage of that. I understand it's a business, you know, and you got to make your money, but God damn it, dude.
And like
I mentioned, I only collect, like, 2 books now.
Well, like you were saying, that $8 Wolverine is going to end up in, like, a quarter bin
in
the next 12 months or something like that.
But if Batman dong worth right now?
Like I said, I think I got rid of mine. I think for all 3 issues, I got like $100.
Oh, okay. That was
so that's
one
not
when
bad.
The 3 issues.
Yeah. Well, at first, that single issue alone was worth $100.
It was. Yeah.
You know, that is one that I got that just because I wanted, because I'm a fan of Batman.
Yeah.
And then that first issue became so collectible.
You wanted to see it.
We all wanted to see it.
Yeah, James finally stopped bugging me about it.
Yes.
But
he wouldn't let me borrow it. But
he
looked at it.
Damn it, James!
He didn't want to let you borrow it because he heard about your Phoenix comic.
And that booger! I'm afraid of something more than a booger showing up in there.
Fair enough, but I'm going to tell you right now.
Hey,
when Al bought that comic in, it was like a deadbeat dad trying to visit his kids with like a supervised visit with a court-appointed person watching.
Right.
Yes.
I got Al breathing on my down the back of my neck as I'm thumbing through the issues trying to find that bat dong. And then as I see it, you could tell like just all these judgmental thoughts are going through Al's mind.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
and then I was done.
I had a friend when I was...
Could have helped if you put your pants back on.
Well, Al, I read comics in a very bizarre way. And
he has to relax.
I ask you not to judge me on that, okay?
Precarious situation.
You know, you didn't have to poke fun at the fact that I had a full-blown erection.
I will say, though, that that first issue I just bought... I had no idea. It was put on my pull list. I got it. Had no idea. There was nothing collectible about it. Just happened to turn out that way. It was the first black label book or whatever they called it. However,
so it was a complete surprise that Batman's penis was.
Yeah,
in
did not. I did not buy it for the
Bat Dog. Surprise!
Yeah, right.
Such a lie.
However, what I will.
He was so ready for this.
Okay, first of all, do I pay attention to anything ever? Come on. All right. But no, I will say that I collected the other. I didn't care for that story very much.
No,
even though I do like Brian Azzarello, too, so I was kind of disappointed.
Brian Azzarello has written some really cool books.
He really has.
I love his version of John Constantine. John Constantine was in that book, but by the end of the book, I was like, no, I didn't like this.
Has he written any other characters nude?
I don't believe so.
I'm just curious.
John Constantine was nude for some of his runs, so.
So we can see Constantine's dong.
I never saw his dong. Okay. It was always strategically off-panel. But
the point I'll eventually get into is that even though I was not crazy about that book, the Bat Dong did inspire me to collect the other two issues of that series because it would make it more collectible.
And that's the thing.
Any other book, because the Bat Dong did, make it more collectible. The fact that they reprinted it censored made it more collectible. If that hadn't been a part of that issue, I would not have bought two or three because it wasn't a great story. But I collected the other two just for to make it more collectible. So I will say that. I guess that was kind of prospecting a little bit for comics.
That was 5 minutes of explanation for why Al Beck bought the Bat Dong.
That was not my fault, though.
He was really trying to convince us. It wasn't because he just wanted to see Batman naked.
Batman's penis.
Had nothing to do with why I bought it. It has everything to do with why I haven't sold it yet.
I bought all three issues.
Well done. Well done. Well, like we were saying, there's those expensive comics. Sometimes they end up in quarter bins, and there'll be plenty of quarter bins out at the Great Lakes Comic Con. Go to GreatLakesComicCon.com and come out Friday.
Wunderbar.
James will be out there on Friday night.
5 to 7.
Yep, and I'll probably be wandering around Saturday afternoon.
So, and as Chuck tends to do when you go to these cons, you're always uploading some photos and stuff to the Instagram, so you can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at NerdRadio101. So Chuck will upload some photos there.
Oh, see, now you're making me work. Damn it.
Oh, please. Now do it anyway.
Now there's expectation. I don't appreciate that at all.
Well, here's the
point them like we do every week.
That's right. Here's the thing. You put me in charge of the social media, and I'm not planning on going, so I got to pass the buck.
We'll probably get your passes if you want to check it out, Alan.
That's okay.
It's absolutely doable.
Put you in a costume contest, dressed up as somebody from MASH.
There we go.
See?
God damn it. You guys know my kryptonite now. Draw me in with
MASH. Just wear your new Star Trek uniform and your new Bluetooth Star Trek badge.
Yeah.
So you're posting them
Just I've got my Bluetooth Star Trek
comm badge.
Does
it
connect to your cell phone? It does. You can make calls on it. Wow. And when people call you, it chirps.
It goes beep, beep.
It sounds exactly like in the show when they tap the badge. It makes that exact chirping noise.
When you talk to your phone, do you say, computer? Whenever you do it.
No, but
I knew somebody that did that with their their Alexa.
Yeah, it has the option. Yeah,
you can make it so when you say computer, this is the dumbest thing they could have done because you say the word computer so many times that it just turns on. You're like, no, I didn't mean you.
Yep,
different computer.
Yeah, Amy laughs because whenever I tell our Google to stop playing a song or something like that, I always say thank you. She's like, why are you thanking the Google?
You're being polite for when the robot uprising comes up. They'll take some mercy on your ass and maybe won't decapitate you first.
That's exactly what I told her.
Decapitate you and replace all your bones with robotic elements.
I didn't think about that. Siri is coming for me and she's coming for blood.
When Skynet takes over, I'm hoping to buy myself a little time.
I have said some horrible things to Siri. I've called her some unforgivable names.
You know what I call Cortana on my Xbox.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's come back. Are there people in this world that have not seen Baby Yoda yet? We're going to talk about that. And also, we talked last week about the Ghostbusters Twinkie. There's more yummy Ghostbusters food coming up.
Ooh, I hope yummy. I know. I think I know what this one is.
And this one you're definitely going to be interested in. So Ghostbusters, and more coming up.
My fat ass is hungry now.
Nerd Radio. I love doing these food bits right before lunch.
Oh, you bastard.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Pause that game. It's time for more Nerd Radio.
I don't want to see it.
That's right. Back for more Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRAF.com, as well as the podcast page at
Rock929Rocks.com.
And we're on Twitch Wednesday afternoons. Where are we?
Twitch.tv/CheckpointXP.
That's right. You can find us all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. It's Chuck Bean. It's Al Beck. And it's James hanging out talking about some Nerd Radio.
I got to tell you that it's still real to me, damn it, guy.
Yeah.
It's kind of how I watch MASH.
Yeah. Still real. The Korean War is still real.
Still real, yeah.
Here's a secret, Al. The Korean War is real.
Yeah, it is.
MASH may not have happened.
Yeah, it's probably much less humorous as the show depicts
it. Yeah.
Exactly. You know?
There's much
Still Ruby, damn it!
Yeah, we're not going to get into full-blown wrestling conversation, but this weekend was the NXT show. I saw on Twitter that you were watching it when I was also watching it.
Oh, my gosh. That match with
Keith Lee. Dominik Dijakovic.
Yeah, I'll never say that guy's name properly, but I could not believe that match. I felt bad for anybody who came up after, but then I feel like all the matches after still at least hit that pinnacle. Like, they all did as well as that match. But I was like, oh, my God.
I didn't plan on watching the whole thing, but they kept giving me a match. Every match after the one, I was like, oh, I wanted to see this one, too. Yeah. Oh, and I wanted to see this one. Yeah. Oh, yeah, this one was going to be good. I want to see this one. So,
for me, I didn't realize who was wrestling. I didn't even realize who was. All I knew was wrestling is on. I don't have to get up for work tomorrow morning, so we're going to watch NXT.
Yeah, that's regardless. That's where I was sitting. I was like, hey, I don't have to be in to work at midnight. I'm going to sit and watch a wrestling thing on Sunday. Yeah, this is fun.
Put it on, and Keith Lee, man. I feel like he should have lost that match.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so hype, but the bumps that was it Dominik?
Dominik
Dijakovic. Dominik took, and some of the, oh, my God.
Right.
I felt like he deserved to win that match.
Yeah.
Even though Keith Lee's got so much, like, hype coming up, and he's really coming up as, the next standout NXT star. But I was like,
he's fantastic because he's the size of Brock Lesnar, but he moves like Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And that's why watching Keith Lee is a blast.
Yeah. So exciting stuff coming from NXT. It's like one of the first times I've been like, wow.
Yeah.
With NXT.
You kind of got what everyone has said about, you know, like, no, you watch an NXT thing, like, you're in.
Yeah.
See, I expected
much less moves and spots that were missed. Like, it was very well done. Everybody who performed that night did a phenomenal job, but Keith Lee, like, that should have been the climax of the show.
And it was the first match.
It was the opening match.
Yeah.
I'm like, my mind is blown. What are you going to do now, NXT?
You guys,
what are you going to do now?
I think I tweeted out, you guys know there's an entire roster back there that's got to follow this, right? You can. You don't have to go this hard.
Yeah,
you can calm
down. The top rope, when he jumped off the rope while he was in the chair, Dominik jumped off the rope and did the flip while he was in the chair.
Did that move they call the Spanish fly, where it's like a reverse jumping rock bottom off the top rope.
Yeah.
And that cracks me up because, like I said, Keith Lee is the size of Brock Lesnar, and they still show, to this day, they'll show Brock Lesnar superplexing the Big Show off the top rope when they broke the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time Keith Lee comes off the top rope, I'm like, come on, you're going to tell me this big guy's not going to break the ring? The other big guys broke the ring.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was
the rest of the show live up to it or no?
No, it was good.
It was good?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see the very, very end. I think I fell asleep by then. But
it was good. It was
every match afterwards I felt delivered.
Yeah. The final match, it was full of, as you would expect with Tommaso Ciampa and Adam Cole, it was filled with a lot of those near falls where it's like these guys have been beating on each other for 30 minutes. They are just pouring sweat. They're beat red. Just let it be over. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Quit kneeing each other in the face and let this be over.
The Broserweights won, so I was happy about that. And then Matt Riddle got some heat from Randy Orton online. I love when all the wrestlers go after Matt Riddle. He wins. He wins unless they're all in on it and they're trying to help get him some attention.
That's what you would hope, right?
You know?
Is that they're all kind of they understand that, like, Twitter is just another way that they can push forward storylines and you know, and make up storylines. Yeah. It's like, hey, if we were on Twitter for long enough, then people are eventually going to be wanting to see us fight real.
But you got to imagine, like, backstage, if you're not in on it, like, you just assume they're having beers and they're bro-ing out together. But in front of the public eye, they hate each other.
Yeah.
It's wild. It'd be a wild life to live as a professional wrestler. So.
And the other thing that they started Sunday night is they have a new documentary series that they started right after NXT.
Got a John Cena episode I got to watch.
Yeah, it's called Ruthless Aggression. It encapsulates the early 2000s. And after watching the NXT, I love their documentary stuff anyways, even though, like, part of it's not quite real. And then, you know, you're also, especially when it comes to them talking about the Monday Night Wars, the winner is writing the history. So
sure.
You don't know how true some of this stuff is. But the interesting thing is I sat there and watched it, and Amy was on the couch. She watched NXT with me, and by the end of it, she was like, that was really cool. I liked that a lot. And then Monday, when the John Cena episode hit, I was like, hey, there's a new episode of that thing. You want to watch it? Yeah, I want to watch that.
I can't wait to watch the John Cena episode.
I left the house last night to go record my horror podcast, Talk Horror to Me. And as I was leaving.
You've got a horror podcast?
A horror. It's all about horrors.
The king of horrors over here.
But as I was leaving, she was like, hey, where do I find more with the next episode of that show that we were watching? I was like, well, the next one's not out, but if you go in the documentaries, there's a bunch of stuff. She ended up watching the Mick Foley documentary and
that's cool.
A whole bunch of stuff last night. So she's in. in the wrestling, at least at least currently, and that's super cool.
Bums me out though that you're that some of the documentaries aren't like real.
Yeah,
because you can still get me on a behind the scenes interview with just about any wrestler that I've heard of before. Like I was so into wrestling a long time ago, and I do not care now at all. It's like the dose I get out of the conversation here is enough for me.
Yes,
but like, but if you pass me over an interview with Mark Calloway talking about being the Undertaker, I'm in. I'm super interested in that, you know.
And that's one of the things that they're actually they're the rumor going around is that starting after maybe WrestleMania this year, they're going to start charging extra for the pay-per-views.
What?
Instead of you just paying $9.99 and getting your pay-per-views and all this back content, they're going to be like, no, $9.99 gets you all the library, but if you want to watch the pay-per-view when it happens, then that's like $20.
A month.
And yeah, and people are like,
they're going to lose me.
Yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, I'll just cancel my account. I don't know that I'd cancel my account because I still like getting to watch old wrestling. It's the same thing we talk about with comics. Like, if you don't like what's going on in comics right now, you can always go back and read old comics.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing. It's like, I'm not super into, you know, after we watched that John Cena episode, I asked Amy, I was like, you want to watch a movie now or something like that? I was like, no, turn on Raw. I'm like, I don't want to watch Raw.
Gotcha. Raw's yeah, for me, it's, right now. I just watch whatever's on regular TV. So I watch Raw, I watch SmackDown.
Yeah.
If I'm really bored, I'll delve into the WWE Network to find things. But like, so the John Cena thing, I want to see that for sure.
Yeah.
I'm such a diehard for such a fanboy for John Cena. I'm going to watch whatever they put out. But for the most part, I'm only using that app to watch
to watch pay-per-views. Yeah. So,
if they take that away, I'm probably not going
to
watch.
Do you think that was a long play strategy to get a lot of people on? Because I remember when you told me that the pay-per-views were moved over to their network and it was $10 a month, that blew my mind.
Right, because it was always like WrestleMania's were like $50-$60.
Yeah.
It was $20 or $30 to watch a pay-per-view.
Like you kind of picked and chose which ones you saw. I mean, like you had the big ones like Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and SummerSlam.
Yeah, those are the three you'd always watch.
Those were the three. Like,
the other ones you'd go over your rich friend's house because they had a black box or whatever and you'd watch it with him even though you couldn't stand the kid.
But then they start doing like
Burrito Breath
and TLC and you're like, I don't know if I really want to spend the money on that thing.
Have a group of friends and everybody kick in $5 and mom, let me order this.
Yeah, we'd order the pay-per-view and get a pizza or whatever.
So do you think it was like a long form thing where they're like, we're going to get everyone hooked on seeing every pay-per-view for $9 a month and then they're jacking the price up, which is still more affordable than the old pay-per-view.
Yeah, even $20 a month is... It's much more affordable. But
if it was a long-term plan, it was a really stupid long-term plan. Because you got everybody, you devalued your product to $9.99 a month, and now you're going to tell us we need to pay more, and everyone's just going to go, no.
I must wonder if they're doing it because they see like streaming services like Netflix. You know, they're already, just for Netflix, it's what, $15 a month?
Yeah, something like that,
You know, Disney Plus is like, I don't
know.
Was
it 12 or 13?
Yeah, I think it's like within the $10 range.
Right.
But they see these other services are coming out. And
is Disney up already? Because it was like $6 a month.
I thought the $6 a month was only if you subscribed right off the bat.
Okay.
Yeah, I think everybody still got it for free right now because they did so many different promotions before it came out saying, oh, if you go on Verizon, you get a year for free. Oh, if you do this, you get a year for free.
Well, the point with Disney Plus is even though it was super affordable now, Even if it hasn't gone up yet, it will.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, they were just trying to get all those subscribers. And it worked. How many people subscribed in the first day, you know?
And plus, too, I think WWE is making a real big mistake because NXT is already on USA Network on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
A lot of people used to tune in on the app, you know, to watch the NXT show. So, like, they're moving a lot of it to the regular TV. I just feel like they're trying to find a way, if this is their actual plan, to just monetize what they already have in a greater fashion.
Yeah.
So they know... They probably know, okay, if we move this cost up to $20 a month, we'll lose this many people.
Right.
But are we going to keep enough people to where all those people that left, now that double the price, we're still making buttloads of cash?
Right. Because if they lose less than half of the people, then they're at least breaking even at the new price.
Yeah.
So,
right.
And I doubt half the audience.
Half the audience
is
not going to cancel it. So they are going to make money on it.
They'll still make a buttload of cash off the deal. But really, I feel like the fans are the ones losing out. Or maybe not. I guess, you know, if they're still paying. I don't know.
Well, it's the same thing you hear about with the live shows and stuff like that. Like, we've gone to live shows in the last couple of years where, like, whole parts of the show or the arena are just tapered
off.
And it's like, well, if tickets cost X amount of money, you can afford to only fill half the arena because as long as you
They've made their money. You know, they're still able to make the money. They're still able to pay the wrestlers. They're still able to put on the show.
Right.
You know, but if they would have sold all those other tickets, there's just that much more money they would have made.
Or if they'd have had the tickets be less money, they could have filled more of the
more
arena.
People. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I think of all those rock shows that are coming up, too.
It's oh,
like,
man.
They're so expensive. I'm like, I can't afford that.
Dude, I spent, okay, just, so this is, other people involved are going to these shows with me.
Right.
But I bought tickets to two Rage Against the Machine shows and
both
the Deftones.
Of them. Okay.
Yes. And I've spent $1,000. I got $1,000 sitting on a credit card.
Oh, my God.
Over three shows.
Jesus Christ.
Just sitting there staring at that balance going, man, those people better pay me back now.
No, yeah. That's when I'm like, oh, man, there's so much.
Dude, that's always the risky move when you're like, I'll front.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys brought up Disney Plus because this is something I wanted to talk about. So Disney Plus isn't out yet in the UK.
Okay.
It is coming out in March. And the Disney Plus UK Twitter revealed that when it comes out, The Mandalorian, which we all got back before Christmas, is going to be released weekly the exact same way it was released for us back in, even though all the episodes exist. First of all, the thing that blew my mind is that that not the entire globe had access to Disney Plus in the first place. And secondly, that like there are people on the globe that haven't watched The Mandalorian but have seen all those Baby Yoda gifts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Holy crap.
That's weird. They got to know what's going on. You know, I feel in the UK,
it feels like it's unavoidable to know what happened in The Mandalorian.
Is it that much of just a United States pop culture phenomenon that the Baby Yoda or the child, whatever you want to call him,
right?
You got to know what's going on in the UK.
That's
especially,
nuts.
You know, that doesn't make any sense to me. But I mean, again, they also watch cricket and stuff. So
refresh my. You got to know what a crumpet is to understand cricket. There was a time when the UK got Doctor Who before we did, right? Like even in recent history.
I think
maybe
so.
Maybe like 10 years ago or something like that. Like they were getting episodes of David Tennant's Doctor Who before we were getting them.
Yeah, I think that is true. Yeah, because I think they got it like basically 6 months apart.
Yeah.
Right? Like we're getting new Doctor Who right now. I think that's when the UK was getting it, and then we would get it in the fall.
Right.
If I remember correctly. And then they would still
Now they just do it live.
Right. But we would still get the Christmas episode on Christmas.
Right. Because that would feel silly.
It would be.
It's the Christmas in July episode.
Right.
Happy 4th of July. Enjoy the Doctor Who Christmas extravaganza.
So I feel like the Christmas episode was like the end of the season for us rather than the beginning.
Yeah. Usually.
I don't know.
Well, speaking of streaming services, there is a show coming out to Netflix, too, that I just watched the trailer for called I'm Not Okay With This. If you were a fan of Stephen King's It, the young lady that was in that, Sophia Lillis, plays another young lady in this particular show. Looks like it's set in the 80s, and it looks like she gets telekinetic power, so definitely a Stranger Things vibe off of this show, but something that's coming up around the end of February for Netflix, which would be pretty cool. I finished Lock and Key, by the way, last week. We watched the entire back half, the last five episodes we watched in one day.
Wow.
We started watching in the morning, it's like, we gotta watch another one, and we gotta watch another one, and we gotta see another one of these. It's great. It's just fantastic. Really, and I read somewhere that they've already greenlit season two and a season three.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Of it, so I'm super pumped.
Must be getting a good response then. I've heard nothing but good things about it, and I got my fiance half sold.
Yeah.
I'm checking it out. So hopefully the first episode better deliver, or else I'm going to be doomed.
There's a lot of modern alternative music in it, and there's one of the keys goes to this crown that allows you to manipulate shadows. So it's, of course, called the Crown of Shadows. The evil character, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but the evil character gets their hands on the Crown of Shadows near the end of the series, and it's near the end of an episode. They mixed it with Billie Eilish's crown.
Okay.
And it's amazing. It's nice. Such a good musical beat for that particular scene.
Is that the one where Billie Eilish is always like, duh?
Dude, no, that's the bad guy.
Oh, that's bad guy.
Well, that is
my Billie Eilish.
Right. High on my priority list, but I'm still watching my way through Sopranos 13 years later.
Wow.
I've never seen Sopranos.
Yeah.
And I should.
I heard it was great. That's the thing. I did not have HBO when it was on.
Yeah.
And then I've had HBO come and go in my life a few times since then. And every time I subscribe, I'm like, I need to finally watch Sopranos, and I never do. So I'm finally doing it. And I'm towards the end of the second to last season, so I'm almost there.
Almost done. Yeah, I've never watched Sopranos either. We never had HBO growing up, or if we did, it was like off and on. And my friends were really into it, but I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, whatever. It's a mafiosa type show. I get it. I've seen Goodfellas. What are you going to do to me, you know, HBO, that I'm not getting from some other source? And I'm very not trusting of HBO programming because Game of Thrones sucks.
And we all know, I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but we've all heard that the end of Sopranos was a bummer. But the whole ride, I guess, you know, not I guess, I mean, I've seen almost all of it. It is freaking amazing. Like I said, it ended 13 years ago. I'm not breaking news here.
Yeah, no, not
Sopranos
at all,
was good.
Spoilers for Sopranos. I haven't seen it yet, you jerk.
It's really good. But it is funny. I can't think of the actor's name, but like they will sometimes reference like a mafia movie like The Godfather or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they mention Goodfellas a few times.
Yeah.
And the kid who plays Spider in Goodfellas is in Sopranos. And
oh, that's nice.
Like in a main role.
Oh, that's funny. That's kind
of so
humorous.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of, a, of an Easter egg. And, you know, he's in Goodfellas for what, like a minute and a half? He talks crap to Joe Pesci and gets shot.
Okay.
But he's got a
I
prominent.
I didn't know which character you were referencing, so. Now I understand.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so like for me, HBO, like The Wire, Game of Thrones, Westworld. I think if there's any other HBO original series that I was like, nah.
Yeah.
Like I can't get into it. Everybody raves about all those, and I'm like, they suck. I'm sorry, guys. Sorry, guys, they suck, okay?
Yeah, the Wire is another one that I've never seen, but I've heard nothing but good things about. Like,
everybody's
people
like,
rave
watch
about
The Wire. I just watched an hour of some guy trying to call a fucking payphone. Wow. Real compelling, HBO. Thanks to everybody who recommended I watch. Oh, it gets good at the fifth episode? So I got to watch 5 hours of somebody trying to call a fucking payphone? Can't wait. I'm going to get ready. Let me go pop some popcorn. Amy, maybe we'll be in the third episode or fourth episode by the time it's ready.
Amy gets about that angry about the fly episode of Breaking Bad.
Oh, really?
She hates that episode so badly. She's just like, what a waste of my time.
That's funny.
She's been catching up on old TV.
That's
mentioned
what we do.
MASH about 12 times today.
Right.
Going through
radio.
He has like a TV time warp here.
We're gonna rebrand the show as Catching Up on Pop Culture with the Old Men.
Old Fart Radio.
Old Fart Radio.
Yeah.
Well, here's something you can, I'm going to steal this from the headline, something you could sink your teeth into. They're making Ghostbusters Twinkies we talked about last week with blue slime in them.
Yeah.
They're also going to be making edible Stay Puff Marshmallow Man.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That looks fantastic. Not life size.
No.
You know, just a perfect treat size.
But they're pricey.
Yeah, it's coming out, I want to say in June. They're going to be about $12.99, and you can get yourself, you can take a bite out of the Stay Puff Marshmallow Man.
I think I have a link to buy one right now on Amazon.
For a little cheaper?
But they're $25.
Oh, really?
Yes, unless I was thinking, I know I need to buy two. Because I want to buy one that I can just eat on like on a video.
Yes.
But I also want one that I can fucking roast. Sorry, I just dropped the F-bomb.
For a third time.
Yeah, I just got real excited thinking about roasting the Stay Puff Marshmallow with a torch.
God damn.
My damn torch.
DMX is going to pull a hammy on this episode.
Yeah, he's getting
jumping in.
That's the first time I think I've apologized for cursing on the show.
He's absolutely getting that.
DMX is like, arf.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's all I can think about. Is a roast
X, food. You missed it. You're supposed to give it to me and you missed.
Yeah.
You fired and you missed, DMX. All right, well, that's a lot of work for me, so I think that's going to do it for this week's Nerd Radio.
Cut us off now,
Listen to it with a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah, exactly. Let me know ahead of time when you download the episode whether or not I missed something, so don't accidentally broadcast it later on the next week. Find us on social media, Nerd Radio 101. Find us right back here in the Checkpoint XP studios next Wednesday afternoon. And, of course, find our podcast, man. Hit us up with a like. Hit us up with a review on Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. And we really appreciate you guys hanging out with us on Twitch every Wednesday afternoon. Make sure you're following James on Twitch. Make sure you're following me on Twitch. Having a good time. Don't follow Al on Twitch. He's not twitching nothing.
I'm not twitching anything.
The only kind of Twitch Al has is...
He twitches while MASH is on, and he's half asleep at 4 in
the
afternoon.
Oh, dude, I was on Instagram the other day, and I saw Lisa post something on TikTok, and I had to message her. I'm like, you're on TikTok, too? I'm not on TikTok! What the hell?
Hey, man, you want to get in touch with the whatever... The Z generation? I don't know which letter of the alphabet. You got to go to
Z,
go where they are.
Except for the Canadians. They're the Z generation.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. We'll end on that terrible joke. See you later.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
I have spoken.
The other thing I wanted to say, too, so at the Astronomicon, I was tempted to buy, like, they reprint some of those original issues. So, like, Wolverine versus Hulk.
Yes.
Like, you could buy, like, a reprinted. I'm like, God, yeah. I'm tempted to buy it, but...
They started about a year ago, Marvel, and now DC's doing it, too, where they will... It's the price of a comic now. It's $3.99.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Gazoo Knight.
There it is.
You only get one.
I'm getting it in before the actual show.
Yeah, there'll be more to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it reprints... everything. It reprints the ads, like cover to cover. It is the book.
I saw that. And I was like, man, that would be like a comic I would have dreamed to own. For some reason, like Wolverine versus the Hulk. I mean, is it even the first appearance of Wolverine?
Yes.
Okay. Like for me, like that is like the holy grail of comics.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I look at that as,
wow. And I do think there's value in those reprints. You know, if you are a super fan of a character or something, yeah, it's not the collectible, valuable issue.
Yeah.
But especially when you get the original ads, there's something cool about having it in your hand. Mm-hmm. So, like, I really like Spider-Man, and I've read Amazing Fantasy number 15, you know, like in trade version or whatever. But when they reprinted that on an anniversary, I bought it.
Yeah.
I spent the $4 to get it just so I could have it in my collection. But again, it's not expensive. I get that. It's a quarter bin comic. If I wanted to try and resell it, it's worth nothing, but it's cool to have because I like Spider-Man.
And this is something I didn't bring up because
I think I got the original Deadpool too, his first appearance in same thing. Yeah,
because working at a comic book store, this scares the shit out of me, but Marvel Unlimited and DC Universe are such amazing resources for, like, hey, I can read these comics that I would never in my life
been able
get
to
my hands
touch.
On whatsoever. Yeah. And it's typically the price, a monthly subscription for that is the same price as one comic book. Like, okay, so I buy one less comic book at the store, and I have access to all this this stuff.
Yeah.
About to call it garbage.
I was about to call it garbage, yeah.
Look at all this garbage.
Look at all this trash.
This is my garbage.
Oh, too bad this...
What?
...isn't the segment, because look at all this trash. Would have been a perfect
damn
episode
it.
Title.
Maybe it'll be
I should have brought
end.
It up.
Son of a bitch! Make this the fucking end tag.
I should have brought it up while we were talking comics, but I was like, you know what? I'll wait until the little lull in between. Once the segment is over, I'll bring up the reprints of those classic issues.
Oh, boy.
They almost got me at Astronomicon. I was
Knowing that you're interested in that, I'm pretty sure we have a couple of copies of that at the store.
Oh, yeah?
If we do, I'm going to grab one and put in your mailbox.
All right, do that.
Just so you can have it, because it is cool.
Because I feel like
I did
I'm going to try to tell myself it's the real one. Though.
A couple of weeks ago, they did the first Venom. The Amazing Spider-Man, the first Venom. I'm never going to afford that book, but I can afford $3.99 for
absolutely
complete copy with ads and all in there.
I think there was a...
They did the Death of Phoenix the same way, and I'm like,
okay.
I'll never afford that book, but I can afford this $3.99.
Yeah.
And put that in my collection.
Because I saw Hulk versus Wolverine, and then they had, like, I think the original, the first Punisher or something.
Yeah.
All I know is Spider-Man? Somebody's in, like...
It was an issue of Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, so I saw that. For some reason, those are the two comics that I'm like... Those would be the coolest comics ever to own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
But it's one of those that's got personal value, not collector market value.
For me, it's all just nostalgia of collecting the X-Men cards as a kid. And
absolutely.
Reading them front and back and ruining the corners because I've read the cards so much. And that's actually what started my fascination with reading on the can. When I had to go take a dump.
Yeah.
I'd go take a dump.
Oh, I love an origin story.
Cards. Yeah.
The guy who played drums in my band in high school, he would come over for a band practice, and he would pick up whatever the newest comic was that I had sitting out and thing, and then go to the bathroom for 15 goddamn minutes. And we'd be like, Jay, we want to practice. Yeah, we know you've been done pooping for at least 4 minutes.
The comic just got really good.
Yeah. No, he'd sit in there and read the entire thing. We're down there. We're in the basement. We're playing as loud as we can to let him know, hey, we're down here. Come to band practice.
We need the rhythm section.
That is going to hurt the grading on that comic.
That is going to hurt,
Just don't want to respond to somebody in the Twitch real quick. Chris Bird.
Oh, no!
Anyway, continue.
That's
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.